Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To ask why God does what he does is to go where angels fear to tread. Paul wrote, "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." God's choices are not negotiable. We must come to grips with his sovereignty and obey his commands. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now join us for more on God's eternal decrees.
Well, I'm going to give you three words that you can take home today. And you'll see their transforming power. The first word I want you to take home is the word acceptance. The ability that God is giving to you to accept your circumstances and who you are, because after all, he's God, and he's determined some things about you that you can't change. For example, your appearance. You may look into a mirror and wonder where God was when you were put together. You say, so-and-so is beautiful, so-and-so is handsome, and here I am. Well, it's God who gave you the raw material. You can do some things maybe to get spruced up, but the fact is that your DNA, your who you would be, the members of your body, as we noticed when we spoke about God's omniscience, were known to him from the beginning, and you are who you are. Could I invite you to accept yourself? To say, I don't have to look like somebody else. You also have to accept your limitations. Not everybody has the very same abilities. There are people who have more abilities than we have. There are people who have more success than we have. And you don't have to become envious of them if you're willing to accept who you are within God's great providential scheme. I'd also encourage you to accept your parents. Yes, of course, they may not have been perfect. Maybe they were even abusive. But I'm here to tell you today that God is so sovereign and so loving that if you let him, he can even redeem evil that has been done to you. If you let him. Because he is a loving God. He's a God who cares about us, and his vast scheme of redemption includes even the evil in the world. And we sang about it today. Don't ever underestimate God's ability to work all things together for good to them who really do love him, and stop trying to fight against him. Don't be angry with God. Don't be angry. You hurt yourself, but you'll never hurt him. Submission to him and his purposes is absolutely critical. Because he loves you, he cares about you. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Come in Christ's name. You know, a woman whose name actually is escaping me now, and someone whom I know quite well, made the statement that in acceptance there is peace. It's Elizabeth Elliot, who went home to glory some time ago. She said, in acceptance there is peace. There are some of you who don't have peace because you refuse to accept certain realities. But those realities have been given to you by God. The first word to take home is the word acceptance. There's a second word that I want you to take home, and that is the word trust. That is the word trust. He really does have everything known, and he does have everything in his hands, including you. So What we need to do is to just simply say, God, you know the future infallibly, so we trust you. Because you know all things. I don't have to inform you. I can just trust my life and my future to you. How detailed is God in relationship to you? You know, this is in Matthew chapter 10. You can look at it later, but Jesus said this: don't fear those who are able to kill the body, and then after that, there's nothing else they can do, because they can't do anything beyond that. But fear him, rather, who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We know that verse very well. What we sometimes forget is that Jesus continued that verse, and then he says this: are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And the penny may have meant more than simply our penny, but, you know, sparrows are everywhere. You go to Chicago, pigeons are everywhere. We'd like to sell a whole bunch of them for a penny. In fact, I saw a bumper sticker years ago that said, "Help keep Chicago clean, eat a pigeon tonight." Are there not two sparrows that are just sold for a penny, and yet not one of them falls without your Heavenly Father noticing it? I mean, you walk out on the street and you've done this and you notice that there's a dead sparrow along the sidewalk. Maybe a dead sparrow flew into a window in your building and didn't realize it was a window and dropped down dead. When you look at that sparrow, what you say is, God was here last night. And he saw the sparrow fall. And then Jesus said, are you not worth more than many sparrows? Are you telling me that if a sparrow falls to the ground and your Heavenly Father notices the sparrow, that you could drop dead of a heart attack and God wouldn't, A, know about it far in advance, obviously from eternity past, and that this would come as a surprise to him, even though it would be a surprise to you and your family and others? Are you thinking that God would kind of overlook that and say, well, I guess that's what happened to the guy? No. Your Heavenly Father watches over you. And if a sparrow cannot fall, believe me, you're in the Father's hands. And then Jesus isn't finished. He says, the very hair of your head is numbered. You know, I read that, and we have some people on the staff who could number their own, actually. You know, there is a story about a guy who had one hair. He washed it every morning. He sprayed it. And then one morning he woke up and he saw the hair on the pillow, and he woke his wife and he said, my Lord, I'm bald. He said, but God knew exactly when he became bald. Was it at 2:30 in the morning when he was sleeping? Was it at 2:35? Was it 3 o'clock when he turned around in the bed? He doesn't know exactly when he was bald. God does. Now, the reason that that illustration is so powerful is because it's something that is so trivial that you and I never think about. When we wash our hair, we don't go into the sink later or the tub and count the number of hairs that we lost last night. I mean, maybe some people do, but most of us don't. And Jesus said, I know the number. And after you've washed your hair, I have to change the number on my computer. But that's how detailed my knowledge and care is of you. How do you like that for a Father in heaven? So the second word is trust. There's a third word I want to leave with you, and that is the word praise. The word praise. You know, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. You know that it's all about the glory of God. You know that for you, it is all about the glory of God. And so the question is, how do we give God glory? Good discussion. I'll tell you how. We offer him praise. We offer him praise when we're going through a bad day, and we offer him praise when we're going through a good day, because now we begin to see that everything that happens to us is coming through his hand. Some things that are bad are allowed. Some things that are good, usually a mixture. Things that aren't anticipated, sorrows that you didn't dream about. All of these things come to us from the hand of a sovereign God in whose hands we find ourselves. And so you begin to praise. And you praise him for physical limitations. You praise him not for sin, but what he's going to do as a result of the sin. And you begin to sing the praises in the book of Revelation. We praise you, O God, for thou art worthy. For thou hast redeemed us by thy blood from every kindred and tongue and nation. And you become a praising person. And you'll discover it affects your prayer life. You'll discover then that God is so great and so marvelous and has included you in his plan. And you'll be bringing him glory every day. Because you're tired of just continually praying and beseeching him, though there's a place for that, but that's all. And when you leave, you're just as frustrated as when you began, because there's no faith, there's no praise. No, now you begin to praise, and suddenly your whole day changes, and God draws near, because he is near to those who praise his name. I can't help but close this message without also stressing the fact that those of you who do not know God, and I spoke to you briefly a few moments ago. You don't know him personally. You may even recite prayers that you memorized as a child somewhere along the line. Would you know that through Jesus Christ, God can be personally known? That's why Jesus said in John chapter 17, he says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And when you get to know him, you lean hard into him so that you begin, yes, to praise him, but you take delight in him. And the Bible says this, that as we learn to trust, we learn to wait, and God is glorified in our lives. Be still, my soul, for God is God. Aren't you glad he is? My friend, when we realize that God is God and we aren't, it takes an awful lot of pressure from us, because we are then assured that no matter where we are, no matter what we are going through, God is there with us. And as long as we keep worshiping him, loving him, and serving him, we come to know him better and to love him more.
For centuries, theologians have tried to sort out how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to each other. Next time, don't miss The Triunity of God. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.